You're listening to the MPIR Movie Club, movies for your ears.
This podcast is proud to be part of the Blueberry Network. That's blueberry with no e's.com.
Why can't you take a bit of interest in some other body but me?
I'm not interested in you. You don't talk. That's bound to make people wonder.
Wonder what?
What you're thinking.
You'd be surprised.
Possible, does it? Yet murder's a thing that doesn't seem possible either. It's just something you read about in the newspapers. It can't touch us. Oh, but it can. It's here. It's all around us. It's in that forest. It's in this house. We're living with it.
You come back here to be alone with me, didn't you? Didn't you?
Yes, I did. I thought I wanted to. I never knew before what murder was like.
What are you going to do with that?
It's exciting, isn't it? Something that's never happened to you before. Being alone at this time of night with a chap like me. You're not frightened. You're excited. I can tell you are. Your eyes are shining. And you've got color in your cheeks. And your heart's beating. Isn't it?
Don't. I'm frightened of you.
From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays, transcribed with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, editor of the theatrical yearbook Best Plays and drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Alfred Drake and Mary Boland in Night Must Fall. Mr. Chapman.
English theater goers are much more fond than we are in New York of the psychological thriller. The melodrama of suspense. So they get a great many more of these plays than we get few. However, once in a while, Britain sends us one which is greatly to our liking, such as Angel Street, Payment Deferred, or Maurice Evans's current hit, Dial M for Murder. Our play this evening, Night Must Fall, is one of the best of this kind. Emlyn Williams is the rare type of actor who doesn't wait around for some dramatist to bring him a play. If he needs a play, he can write it himself. And thus it was that he wrote Night Must Fall, so that he could be a particularly creepy, thoroughly enjoyable villain. And now we are passing Mr. Williams' role to another actor of great versatility and intelligence, Alfred Drake. I'm going to be just as interested as you are, or he is, in seeing how Mr. Drake comes out as Dan, the cheerful and obliging hotel bellboy. With him, as our play begins, will be Mary Boland and Carmen Matthews, whom it is always a pleasure to welcome anywhere. Right now, these three and others find themselves in a country boarding house in a remote spot in England.
And Lady Isabel humbly crossed her attenuated hands upon her chest. "I am on my way to God," she whispered, "to answer for all my sins and sorrows." "Child," said Miss Carlyle, "had I anything to do with sending you from East Lynne?"
A beautiful character. Go on reading, Olivia.
"I want to see Archibald," whispered Lady Isabel.
"Olivia."
"Oh, yes, Auntie."
"You're skipping."
"Am I?"
"Yes, you missed about Lady Isabel taking up a cross. I may be a fool, but I do know East Lynne. Very convenient when you want to go for a walk.
But
shame on you, trying to cheat an invalid in a wheelchair of her only pleasure in life."
"But you were feeling so much better. You had 2 helpings of bacon at breakfast."
"Doctor's orders. Every mouthful an agony. Mr. Lorry."
"Huh? Oh, beg pardon. I was just reading my paper. There's a man here in Weston-super-Mare who stood on his head for 20 minutes and he hasn't come to yet."
"Olivia! What's the matter?"
"Nothing."
"Your face is as long as your arm."
"Well, I'm afraid it's made like that."
"Aren't you happy here? You have a good position helping me. We have Mr. Lorry here as a guest to give you compliments. There's Dora to do the dirty work and Mrs. Terence to do the cooking. Is anything wrong?"
"It's a bit lonely, that's all."
"If you think just because the house is tucked away in the wood you're going to get a raise in salary, you won't. But you've got an idea. I'm worth a great deal of money, eh?"
"I don't want your money, Auntie. If you like, I'll go."
"Can you afford to go?"
"No, you know I can't."
"Then clear the breakfast dishes. No nonsense."
"It isn't my job. I'll ring for Mrs. Terence."
"Pride goeth before a fall. You won't catch a husband with your nose in the air."
"I don't want a husband."
"Did you hear that, Mr. Lorry?"
"Well, no, I don't really believe a pretty girl like you, Olivia,
would..." "It's going to be a nice day, don't you think, Hubert? Shall I pack the other half of Mrs. Henry Wood, Auntie?"
"Who?"
"The lady who wrote East Lynne."
"You're a dark one, you are, Olivia."
"Who rang?"
"Clear away, Mrs. Terence."
"That's Dora's job."
"Dora's busy gathering firewood. Now, clear away."
"Oh, all right. Old sourpuss."
What was that, Mrs. Terence?"
"You heard, and so did she. Oh, she has to save her face pretending she hasn't heard. But she knows nobody but me'd stay here a day."
"Mrs. Terence, you cut the roses too young."
"Then you come out and cut them yourself."
"That's a nice way to talk to an invalid."
"Oh, if you're an invalid, I'm the Prince of Wales. I'll be in the garden if you've a mind to choose some roses."
"Would you like me to read some more?"
No. She's upset me for the day now. I've a good mind to bring an action against her. I'd best wheel myself out and see she doesn't hang on my roses. Mrs. Terence, wait for me."
"Oh. That's the 5th action she's threatened this week."
"Well, a woman like that is going to be found murdered one of these days. By Jove, it says in the paper..."
"Oh, Hubert."
"Oh, sorry. I guess you're fed up with this place, eh, old girl?"
"Fed up is such an inadequate expression. How bright the sun is today. I hadn't even noticed."
"What are you thinking, huh?"
"I was just wondering what it will be like when darkness falls out there. We never know, do we? And yet, who are those men?"
"Where?"
"Poking about in the brush out there."
"Well, here's Dora with the firewood. Maybe she knows. Dora?"
"Sir?"
"Who are those men out in the woods?"
"I don't know, sir. They seem to be looking for something. Excuse me."
Well, she looks a bit off color, doesn't she?
The atmosphere around here. Oh, I don't know why you wish to spend a two-week holiday here.
Well, I wouldn't have, except...
Except what?
Well, don't you know, Olivia?
I suppose I do.
Well, I don't want to sound rude, etc., but women don't get men proposing to them every day, right?
I really can't think why you want to marry me, Hubert. I suppose you think I'm steady.
Well, nothing to be ashamed of in being steady. I'm steady myself.
I know.
Well, then, why aren't you keen on marrying me, what?
Because, Hubert, you're an unmitigated bore.
A bore? Me, a bore? Well, upon my word, Olivia, I think you're a bit eccentric. Oh, I'm sorry to be rude and all that, but I've never been called a bore.
Bores never are. People are too bored with them to call them anything.
I say, you are bored, aren't you?
Oh, I know I'm being tiresome, Hubert.
No, well, will you at least think it over? My holiday's up on the 27th, you know.
The most disgraceful thing I ever heard of.
Oh, Madam Crocodile's coming back. Will you think about it?
Yes, I'll think about it.
Well, let me hold the door for you, ladies. I was just on my way for a constitutional.
Thank you, Mr. Lorry.
Right, I'll...
I don't care what you say, Mrs. Terrence. Fetch that girl here at once.
Oh, leave the child alone.
What child?
Dora.
Broken three of my crown derby. And thought if she buried them in the rose bed, I wouldn't see them. Well, I've seen them. Dora! Dora!
Mum?
Crown derby to you, my gal.
Beg pardon?
Broke three of them, just like the one you're carrying now. I suppose you think that china came from the village shop.
Now, come, Dora, it isn't as serious as that.
Oh, it's worse, Miss Olivia.
You can leave. That's all. Oh. Leave.
Oh, Mama. See, I've dropped the other one.
That does it. Now you'll have to leave.
Oh, please, Mama.
Well?
Mama, I'm not myself. I'm in a terrible tizzy.
What kind of a tizzy?
It's a young man.
You've gone and made a fool of yourself.
You might call it that, Mum.
I suppose he told you he'd marry you, and you believed him.
Yes, Mum.
There is no one of them you can trust. What happened?
Well, Mum, I met this young man, after a manner of speaking, and he seemed very nice, and we went for walks and things.
Things, indeed.
And he seemed very sincere, Mum, and then after a while, I said I didn't want to see him and if his intentions was honorable. And he said as how they was. And... Oh, Mum.
When were you to be married?
Next Sunday was the day we said, Mum, but now... Well, he isn't keen about it. I don't think he wants me.
Indeed. I'll make him keen. The idea of frittering away your time and affections, making you so nervous you can't do your work. Who is he?
Dan, his name is. He's a page at the Toll Boys.
The big boarding house up the road?
Yes, ma'am.
I knew it. These places that are too fancy for ordinary kerosene lamps like the rest of us have. I've always said you breed nothing but mischief in a place where it's so easy to turn the lights on and off. What's his character, this good-for-nothing?
Oh, he's a nice sort, really. He's done wrong by me, but he's all right.
Where's he from?
Well, I don't know. He used to be a sailor, I think. He's strange. Babyface, they call him. Ever so open, yet I can never seem to get hold of what he's thinking.
I'll get hold of it. You just let me talk to him.
Oh, Mum, if you only would. Perhaps I could stay on.
You fetch him here.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mum, he's on half day, and he said he'd pop in to see me.
You fetch him here when he comes.
Yes, Mum. Oh, Mum.
I'll stop the Crown Derby out of your wages. What were you going to say?
Well, Mum, I was going to say I don't know how to thank you for your generosity. Excuse me, Mum.
Well, Mrs. Terrence, did you know about Dora's trouble?
Well, she did mention it to me.
Playing with fire, that's the game.
Oh, playing with fiddlesticks. Oh, she's been a fool over a young man. But she's no criminal.
Mum, Mrs. Branson, Mum.
What is it now?
Oh, dear. There's a gentleman at the back. He says he's from Scotland Yard. Says he wants to see you on a very particular matter.
Well, stop sniffling. Show him in.
I've already taken the liberty, ladies. I'm sorry to break in on you like this. I'm Inspector Belsize, Scotland Yard.
I don't like having people in my house, Inspector.
Well, I'm afraid the law sometimes makes it necessary, Mrs. Branson. Would you be good enough to introduce me to these people?
My niece, Olivia Grain, my cook, Mrs. Terrence, and Dora Parkham.
Dora and I met at the back door.
You can go, Dora.
Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Terrence?
I'll stay. I might have to be arrested for stealing sugar.
Well, as a matter of fact, I wish you would stay. You may be useful.
If you come about Dora's carrying on with a young man...
Well, fortunately, that sort of thing is not in my line. You all live here?
But Dora and I ride in from town every day.
Well, it's a pity you don't walk.
Why?
Well, if they walked, they might have seen something on the footpath.
Something of what?
I'll tell you in a moment. Who's the gentleman coming up the walk now?
Oh, that's Mr. Hubert Lorry.
Has he been here long?
About a week, on a holiday.
Hello?
Oh, this is Inspector Belsize, Hubert.
Inspector? I say, it isn't about my car, is it?
No.
Well, how do you do? Well, I knew a chap on the stock exchange once who was taken through the Black Museum at Scotland Yard.
Really?
Yes, it was very interesting. He said a bit ghoulish.
Yes, I expect so. Now, I wonder if you've seen anything out of the ordinary in the woods, Mr. Lorry.
Out of the ordinary?
Like a body.
By Jove. Fancy walking in the woods and stumbling over a dead body. Well,
I stumbled over bodies in them woods, but they wasn't dead.
Yes, have any of you seen anything?
Olivia's always moping in the woods.
Well, I haven't seen anything, I'm afraid. Oh, except those men beating the brush today.
There's a lady missing. They're searching for her.
A lady? Where from?
The tall boys.
Who are she?
Mrs. Chalfont.
Chalfont? What happened to her?
She left the tall boys last Friday afternoon and went for a walk through the woods in this direction. She hasn't been seen since.
You don't think she's been done in, do you?
It has happened.
Trash. Anybody think you've been brought up on penny dreadfuls?
Miss Grain, you seem preoccupied. What were you thinking?
Nothing, only how strange it is.
What?
Well, here we are, perfectly ordinary English people.
Don't be silly, Olivia.
Let her speak.
Well, we woke up this morning thinking, here's another day. We looked at the weather.
My dear, the policeman isn't interested
in... If you please, go on, Miss Grain.
And all the time... There may be something lying in the woods, hidden under a bush, perhaps, with 2 feet just showing, perhaps one high heel catching the sunlight, the other a stockinged foot with blood dried into the openwork, and somewhere is a man talking, walking about like us, and he killed her.
Well, did you ever?
I don't think the lady can quite describe herself as ordinary after that flight of fancy.
That's nothing.
Well, I hope she's wrong about this. However, keep your eyes and ears open. Do you have a phone?
No.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, if anything happens, nip up to Shepley Police Station and ask for me. Good morning.
You all standing around looking like that for?
That's funny. I can't get out of my mind what Olivia said about the man being somewhere who's murdered her.
Oh, might even be you, Mr. Lorry.
Huh? Oh, come, Mrs. Terrell.
Well, he's not going to walk about snarling, is he?
Missing woman, indeed. More likely she's in some saloon. Who's there?
Please, Mummy's here.
Who?
My boy. Gentleman friend from the tall boys.
Well, send him in here. I'm ready for him. You stay in the kitchen, Dora.
Yes, ma'am.
What gentleman friend?
The maid's in trouble over a young man.
By Jove.
Shh, Mr. Lorry. He's coming.
Morning, all.
So you're Babyface.
Silly name, isn't it? I must apologize to you for these overalls, but I didn't know it was going to be a party. With ladies, I mean.
Are you shy with ladies?
Oh, yes.
You know my name, Miss Dora Parker, I believe.
Well, we have met.
Met, indeed. Have you ever heard of a breach of promise suit, young man?
You know, ma'am, there's 2 sides to every story.
You work at the Tall Boys, don't you?
Yes, miss. 24 hours a day.
Oh, then perhaps you can tell us something about the female who's been murdered.
Murdered, sir? How do you know?
Well, I mean, she might have been, mightn't she?
Oh, yes. Yes, she might have been.
Have you ever seen her?
Mrs. Chalfont?
Yes.
I used to take cigarettes and drinks for her.
What's she like?
Oh, she's on the tall side. Thin ankles. Fair hair.
Go on. Why are you staring at me?
I was just admiring your hair, miss. Dark. Not like hers.
Go on.
Oh, let me see. Thin eyebrows with white marks in them where they was pulled out. To be in fashion, you know. Her mouth, a bit thin, with red stuff painted around it to make it look more. You can rub it off. I suppose. Her neck, rather thick. Laughs a bit loud, then stops. She's very lively. You can't say I don't keep my eyes skinned, can you?
I should say you do.
You're very observant.
Why, thank you, miss.
If he weren't so observant, Dora mightn't be in the fix she's in.
That's true, ma'am.
You don't sound very repentant.
Olivia, why don't you and Herbert go and take a little walk? We'll speak to this young man alone.
Well, now...
It's a personal matter.
Right. Well, then I'll charge off. Olivia?
Wait outside. I'll get my coat.
She's a nice bit of ice for next summer, isn't she?
Now, look here, young man. What is it, Mrs. Terence?
The butcher wants paying. And there's some men ferreting at the bottom of the garden, looking for that Mrs. Charlefont.
In my garden? Among my roses? Olivia! Where is that girl?
You sent her for a walk.
I won't have those men out there.
Shall I wheel you out?
I'll manage myself, thank you. I've no wish to be pushed into the nettles today. Hold the door open.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi! Come out of my garden! All of you, this instant! Come out of my garden, I say!
Makes a good deal of toot, don't she?
Stubborn old fool. Won't even let me pay the butcher, so's I won't know where she keeps her purse.
They say at the Tallboys she's got enough money inside of it, too.
Well, nobody's ever seen it open, and if you've a peep inside, you go down in history. Oh, excuse me now, I've left the butcher hanging at the door.
Go right ahead.
Abby, did you call? I didn't know you were still here.
Perfectly all right, miss. Come in.
Did my aunt call?
She'll be back in a mo.
Oh, I'll wait for her.
Not much doing around here for a pretty girl like yourself, is there? I said it's not a very entertaining quarter of the world for a young lady, is it?
I'm not a snob, but I'd like to point out that although I'm employed by my aunt, I'm not quite in Dora's position.
I hope not. Though I'll be putting it right for Dora. I guess I'll marry her after she comes off her high horse a bit.
I don't believe you.
No? You don't like me, do you?
No.
Too bad. Everybody else does. Why don't you?
I don't quite know. Your eyes are set wide apart. Your hands are quite good. I really don't know what's wrong with you.
You've been looking at me quite close, I see.
I'm observant, too.
I've been looking at you. You're lonely.
What makes you say so?
I can tell. You're looking for someone. Someone who understands them deep feelings inside you. Someone...
It's a waste of time doing your stuff with me. I'm not the type.
No?
You might try Mrs. Bramson, but then that's a waste of time, isn't it?
I don't know. They say she's got plenty of money.
You don't stand a chance playing up to her.
Want to bet?
You are cocky.
Hold this door open. Don't let me wait here all day. Hurry up.
Yes, your ladyship.
Idiots. Trampling my rose bushes like that. They say they've got permits to look for that silly woman. If there's anything I hate, it's the men who think they've got authority.
I don't think they're quite as bad as men who think they've got charm. I'm going for a walk with Hubert. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. All right, young man. Now that we're alone, what about Dora? I won't have my maid all broken up about this and dropping my best china on the floor just because...
Excuse me. I didn't mean to interrupt, but wouldn't you be more comfortable facing the sun, Mrs. Bramson? Like this? There. That's better. You're looking pale, you know. I am sorry to interrupt.
Pale? Did you say I was looking pale?
Not enough sun. The minute I saw you, I said to myself, now there's a lady that's got a lot to contend with.
Oh, you're right, you know. Nobody knows it better than me.
No, I'm sure. Oh, it must be terrible to watch everybody else striding up and down, enjoying everything. Oh, excuse me. I shouldn't have said that.
It's true, though. As true as you're my witness. Nobody else around here ever... Now, look. About you and Dora.
Excuse me a minute.
What is it?
That twitching.
Twitching?
About your throat. Very slight, of course. Nerves, I expect, but I hope your doctor knows about it. Do you mind if I ask what your ailments are?
Hadn't you better sit down?
Thank you. Now.
Well, I have the most terrible palpitations.
Palpitations? But the way you get about, why, 9 women out of 10 in your position would just be giving way.
Do you think so?
Oh, I've known people with palpitations. Somebody very close to me. They're dead now.
Oh?
My mother, as a matter of fact. She died when I was 6. It's strange, but...
Yes?
You remind me of her a bit.
Of your mother?
Yes. Have you a son, Mrs. Bramson?
I haven't anyone at all.
She had the same eyes, very wide apart as you. And the same good hand.
And the same palpitations?
Yes. I hope you didn't mind my talking about your health. You know, you ought to get used to letting other people do things for you.
Yes. Yes, you're right. You're a funny young man.
How so?
You seem so much better classed than most.
Well, I never had many advantages, but I try to do the right thing.
About Dora?
I mean to do the right thing there, ma'am. But you see, working at the Tallboys, I only get 30 bob a week with tips.
How would you like to help out around here a bit?
Do you mean it, ma'am?
It wouldn't pay much, mind.
Anything at all extra, ma'am, and Dora and I could save up.
Good. And when could you come?
Well, matter of fact, this is my half day today.
Go out to the kitchen and tell Dora to fix you some lunch. Then you may come back and read to me.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, ma'am. Mm.
Olivia! I thought you went for a walk.
I didn't feel like walking somehow. Has he gone?
Who?
That smart aleck from the Tallboys.
He's having some lunch.
Here?
Why not? That boy's got understanding, he has.
Enough to marry Dora after breaking her heart?
You ought to be less bitter. You'll never hook a man that way. Besides, with him and that Dora, I'm not so sure it wasn't 6 of 1 and half a dozen of the other.
Look! Look! It's in the papers.
What do you mean, busting in here like a gale of wind? What's in the papers?
The mailman just brought the Standard. It's on page 1. Shepperly mystery.
Stupid sensationalism.
But they've got it right here. About that Mrs. Charlton.
Give it here.
I thought you said it was stupid sensationalism.
Do be quiet. Oh, where is it?
Here. Disappeared mysteriously. Woods around the village searched. And then her description. Here's an interesting bit.
Read it! Hurry up.
A keeper in Shepperly Woods was questioned. He said he had heard a woman's voice on the afternoon in question and a man's voice singing Mighty Like a Rose.
Mighty Like a Rose? What rubbish. I'll hear no more of the stupidity. Olivia, fetch some string from the kitchen and wrap that book to my sister.
Yes, Auntie.
And hurry.
Oh.
Well, come in.
I need a bit of string. Would you get it, Dora?
Yes, ma'am.
I hope you don't mind my having a bit of lunch in the kitchen.
It's not for me to say I'm only a servant here.
But not a very ordinary one, are you?
No.
Neither am I. Sit down while you're waiting for Dora.
All right.
Have some tea.
Well, my aunt is waiting.
She'll wait. Here.
That you're whistling.
That? Just a song.
In a moment, Act Two of Night Must Fall, starring Alfred Drake and Mary Boland with Carmen Matthews. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Now, Act Two of the Best Plays production of Night Must Fall, starring Alfred Drake and Mary Boland with Carmen Matthews. And here again is John Chapman.
Before we go on with the second act of this thriller, I have a little exciting news of my own. During the past few weeks, we've been busy hatching some plans here at NBC. We hope the result is going to be a company of Best Plays stars to tour the country next season in something we're calling Theater in Concert. Next week, I'll tell you much more about the plans and also about a way that you at home can take a real part in the project. Now, let's get on with Act Two. Let's get back to the brooding atmosphere of that English cottage where Dan has made himself so very much at home. 1 week has passed.
Here, let me fix the shawl about you.
Thank you, dear.
Time for our constitutional, you know.
A whole week and we haven't missed an afternoon walk. I don't know what I did before you started to take care of me, Danny.
Nor I.
Ready, old dear?
Yes. Do you have my pill?
In my pocket.
Mr. Lorry, will you give me my hat, please?
Certainly.
Don't bother, Mr. Lorry. I have it. There. And off we go. See you all later. Come on, dear. Through the door.
So, Granny's white-haired boy, huh? Well, he certainly managed to ingratiate himself with the old girl.
What do you think of him, Hubert?
Well, he looks pretty honest.
Looks? It's rather frightening to think of what a face can hide. Careful lips, black eyes. And then I find I'm staring at myself in the glass. And I know that we're all strangers. Windows without blinds. And behind them, secrets. What's behind his eyes?
Is that something, Olivia?
What?
I think you're infatuated with him.
He's common and insolent, and I dislike him intensely.
Well, here's Mrs. Terence. Let's see what she thinks of him.
Thinks? Of who?
Dan.
Him. Oh, he's a terrible liar, of course. But then lots of us are.
Oh, what sort of a liar, Mrs. Terence?
Why, he told me he used to hunt the hounds and have his own pack. Before he went up in the world and became a page boy, I suppose.
You see?
Well, still no reason to talk about him as if he'd done something terrible.
And what's he done?
I don't know, but I feel so strongly. Perhaps Dora knows. Dora?
Oh, she won't know anything. She's as half-witted as she is lazy. Cut off her nose to stop the dustbin from smelling, she would.
Did you call Miss Olivia?
Dora, has Dan said any more about marrying you?
All he's ever said is, how'd you do and beg pardon for a week now.
What do you think of him, Dora?
Dan? Oh, he's all right. Takes his fun where he finds it and leaves it. Pretends he doesn't care a tuppenny, but always got his eye on what you're thinking of him.
Incredible vanity. They always have it, always.
Who?
Murderers.
Murderers?
Oh, he's too ordinary.
No. Ever since I heard him whistling that song.
Oh, you mean that, Mighty Like a Rose?
Yes.
Well, after all, Mighty Like a Rose is a pretty familiar song.
It's more than that. If we could search his luggage.
Oh, no, I said, that's a bit thick. You know.
With Mrs. Chalfont murdered... Why, we may be living with a monster and not even know it.
He's
gone for a walk with the old woman.
I'd like to take a look at some of his things, I can tell you.
I'm going into his room. Are you coming? Hubert?
Well, perhaps it might not be a bad idea at that. Just to be on the safe side.
One dirty shirt.
A packet of razor blades.
We shouldn't be going through his things.
Here's
like
a letter.
This. Well, no, that's too much.
Don't be silly. Your wife will do it to you hundreds of times.
Dear Babyface, next time you strike Newcastle, okay by me, baby. Signed, Lil.
I see. There she is. Mrs. Charlton.
What?
Here in the snapshot. In his wallet it was.
Wasn't there another suitcase, Dora?
Just a big ad box up in the closet.
Let's see it.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, it's a bit heavy to be held an ad.
We'll put it on the table.
There. Oh. It has a lock on it. Wonder what's inside.
We'll open it and...
It's him. Heavens. Hello, all. Remembered I'd left my wallet. Could I have it back, please? Well, yes, of course. I can't think of what to say. Thank you. Did you see the picture of Mrs. Chalfont? Oh, yes. What did you think of the letter?
A letter?
You've got it in your hand, Mrs. Terrence.
Oh.
I'd like it back. Thank you. Means well, does Lil. But she would spy on me. And if there's anything I hate, it's spying. Don't you agree, Miss Olivia?
I...
Sooner have anything than a spy. Bar a murderer, of course. Murderer? I think I'll go out for a breath of air. Excuse me.
But I'll go with you. I could use a breath myself.
Yeah, I'll have the mending to do.
Excuse us. You coming, Olivia?
I'll stay and help him tidy up. We made rather a mess.
Yeah. Hand me that hat box, would you? I'll just put it back in the closet. Well, why are you staring at me?
You did it, didn't you?
You know, you wouldn't be a bad-looking girl without the glasses.
I asked you a question.
I like dark hair, and it likes me.
You're very conceited.
Yes.
And acting. Acting all the time.
Acting? Acting what? See? I can look you in the eyes.
The criminals who can look you in the eyes. Honest people blush and look away.
You don't say.
You are acting, aren't you?
Yes.
What are you like when you're alone?
I act more than ever.
Why?
I don't know.
I think I've got your number.
Carry on.
You haven't any feelings? You live in a world of your own imagination.
I don't follow you.
Yes, you do.
Do you really think there's been a bit of dirty work?
I don't know now. I suppose not.
Disappointed?
Daddy!
What's that?
In the garden.
Come on!
Daddy! Daddy!
Miss Olivia! Oh, Miss Olivia!
What is it? Well, speak up, Dora.
Not those men. They were digging in the rubbish pit.
What about it?
There's something sticking out.
What?
A hand, Miss. A woman's hand.
More tea, Mr. Lorry.
Oh, thank you. Anything new on the case, Mrs. Tones?
Oh, them police was round again.
Well, why isn't Auntie here for tea?
Oh, she went over to Brakeley to be interviewed by the local paper. His Highness took her over.
I wonder if they'll ever nab him.
Who?
Oh, the fellow that did in Mrs. Chalfont. Oh. It's a clever job, you know. Of course, that was a rum touch mangling her like that. The fact is, they still haven't the faintest idea where the poor woman's head is.
Oh, don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a bit of a strain, you know.
Well, why don't you get away?
I can't afford it.
Oh, you could if you married me. Last chance, you know. I'm catching the 5 o'clock for London today.
And I'm sorry, Hubert, I can't.
I shan't be back till my next holiday.
I shall miss you.
It isn't another man, is it?
Don't be ridiculous. What man could I possibly meet here?
There we are, back home again.
Oh, I feel dead.
Now, don't be a silly old woman. You look as pretty as a picture. Strawberries and cream in your face, and not a day over 40. When I've made you a cup of tea, you'll be 25 in the sun and 18 with your back to the light.
Danny, you are the devil. He's been at me like this all the way from Brecony.
What do you like in your tea, huh? Gin, whiskey, or a nice dollop of sailor's
don't
rum?
Make me laugh. My heart won't stand.
You've lost your heart, and you know you have.
to the little fellow what pushes your pram.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I must catch a cab to the station in a few minutes. I'd better get my things. Excuse me.
He seems in a hurry to get back to London. Olivia, what happened while I was out?
Nothing. They're still looking for the hare.
Oh.
And your name is in the Evening Telegram again.
Did you buy one?
Right here.
Give it here. Well, where is it?
Shall I read it to you?
Yes, dear. Do.
Yes. The murderer committed the crime in the forest most... The forest. Most likely stripping beforehand and cleansing himself afterwards in the forest lake. He buried the body shallow in the open pit, cunningly chancing it being filled, which it was the next day by Mr. Lorry, a holiday guest at the murder bungalow. 11th. That was the day before I come here.
So it was. Go on.
The body was nude. Attempts had been made to... eradicate the fingerprints with a knife. The head was severed by a skilled person, possibly a butcher. The murderer...
What's the matter? Why are you smiling?
It's Sunday. And as I was reading, I heard the bells. I forgot it was Sunday. They're going to church in the villages. All got up in their Sunday best, with prayer books and the organ playing and windows shining. Shining on holy things, because holy things isn't afraid of daylight.
You've been drinking.
Just a drop while you were in at the newspaper. And all the time, the daylight's moving over the floor. And by the end of the sermon, the air in the church is turning gray. And people isn't able to think of holy things so much no more. Only of terrible things that's going on outside. Like we're reading about in the papers. They'll be thinking that soon the day will end. And then... night must fall.
Good gracious, what's come over you, Danny?
Oh, I speechify like anything when I'm roused. I used to go to Sunday school, see? Read the Bible quite a bit.
He should have been a preacher.
Should I read some more?
Oh, I'm feeling somewhat tired. I'll take the paper into my room.
Anything you say, mother of mine. Shall I push you in?
Mrs. Terence can do it. Mrs. Terence?
Hi, Mrs. Terence can do it. You think I haven't a stick of work to do around here? Come along.
Does she know you drink her brandy? Maybe you've had enough.
Maybe I have, and I feel fine.
You do live in your imagination, don't you?
Only way to bear with the awful things you have to do.
What awful things?
Well, I haven't had as much to drink as all that. You know, you're a dark horse, you are. This life, it isn't for you, is it? What's there to it, eh?
What's there to it? Well, what was your life like at the Tallboys?
My life? Well, the day don't start so good. With a lot of stuck-up boots to clean and a lot of silly high heels to polish... and spoons that's been in the mouths of gaping fools that looks through me like I was a dirty window. Orders, orders, orders! Do this, don't do that, you idiot! I was never meant to take orders, never. Waiter, my tea is cold. Just when I think I got a bit of peace, there's somebody locking the bedroom door. Won't let me out. Won't give me no money. Just screams and screams so there's nothing keeps her silly mouth shut. But... oh, Lord, I wish I could hear a bit of music. Ah! there. Hear it?
Hmm?
Now I do. And I have a drop of drink. And everything is fine. And you're beautiful. Beautiful. And when it's night...
Go on.
Like to know, wouldn't you? That's why you lie awake nights, isn't it? Thinking.
You know I lie awake at night.
I know.
Yes. And shall I tell you why? Because you're awake yourself. You can't sleep, can you? Because there's one thing you've pushed into the back of your mind, and you can't do any more about it, and you never will. And you know what that is? A box. A hat box with a lock in it. Only a little thing, but it's rather heavy. And inside it...
Stop it, stop it!
I'm right. I knew it.
But it's the only thing, the only thing. Nothing worries me. Nothing. I live by myself inside, here. And the rest of you can go hang. Nothing's going to stop me. I'll manage. Who's there? Who's it?
You better answer it. I'm going into the kitchen.
Go ahead.
Hello there, Dan. How are things?
Oh, hello, Inspector. Not bad. Come in.
We haven't scared you all out of the house, I see.
Not a chance.
You mind if I sit down?
Go ahead, sir. How's the case coming, sir?
Well, I don't mind telling you, the fellow that did this job was a bloodstained chap.
You don't say?
I've seen the remains. No matter, they'll nab him in time.
Oh, if he's as clever as you say, though.
Any self-respecting murderer would have taken care to mutilate the body to such a degree that nobody could recognize it. And here, we identify it first clip. You call that clever?
Well, sir, I'm a slow thinker, but it seems to me that it's even more clever to have a body identified and still not be caught.
Is that why you didn't sleep in your bed on the night of the 10th?
Sir?
I said you didn't sleep in your bed on the night of the murder.
Oh, but I did. Oh, that is, except for about half an hour. I couldn't sleep and went up the fire escape to smoke.
What time was that?
Oh, about... God, you know how you wake up and don't know what time it is.
Are you feeling warm?
No.
Your shirt's wet through.
Oh, I've been sawing some wood.
I see. All right, Dan. That'll be all.
Thank you, sir. Will you be going now?
Yes. After just one thing more.
Sir?
Let's have a look at your luggage, shall we? Everything seems in order here. What about this hat box?
Hmm?
You got a key?
That? It isn't mine.
It's in your closet.
I know, sir, but it isn't mine. Someone must have left it there.
Who?
I don't know, sir.
Well, let's have a look at it anyway. Yes?
May I come in? Oh, Inspector, I just came to get something.
Just having a little check through Dan's things. You wouldn't happen to know about this hat box, would you?
That, why, yes. You see, it's mine.
Yours?
Yes, it's got all my letters in it.
But it's in...
Yes, this room used to be the box room before Dan came.
I see.
May I have it?
Yes, of course.
I'll just take it and keep it in my own wardrobe. It'll be safer there.
I'll carry it in for you on my way out.
It's quite all right. I'll manage it myself.
I'm afraid I've insulted her. Well, I'll pop off now. Sorry to have upset you.
Thank you, sir. And good day, sir.
You do look a bit pale, you know.
I'm all right, sir. Good day. Sweetest little fellow, everybody knows. Don't know what to call him, but he's...
Dan, Mrs. Branson wants you. Dan, are you in there?
Dan! Mrs. Terrence! Mrs. Terrence, come quick! Something's wrong!
drink this, Dan. Well, welcome back to the land of the living.
What happened?
I think you passed out, that's what. A bit too much drink, I expect. Dora came to get you and
I know right away what it is. The monster's lurking, I says, and dancing.
I'll give you a lurk. Get back and tend to supper.
I will, but when you leave for tonight, I'm leaving with you.
Don't be an idiot. Now go on. Dan, how are you feeling?
All right.
Drink this now.
Yeah.
There. Better?
Yes. Proper girl's trick. Passing out like that. Oh. The light's going. It's almost dark out.
Daddy!
Does she know about it?
No, she's been asleep herself.
Good. Let's say no more, shall we?
As you please.
Daddy!
Well, you'd best go in and dance on Madame Crocodile.
All right.
Coming! Well, there you are, mother of mine. What is it your highness is after?
I'm cold. I need my shawl. And bring a can of kerosene for the lamp.
A shawl and some kerosene. No sooner said than done. One, two, three.
What a silly young man. Olivia, is that you?
Yes.
Where are you going with that suitcase?
I thought you were asleep. I didn't want to bother you.
Why are you sneaking off?
Because I'm afraid.
Nonsense.
Is it? Listen to me. I've never known what it is before to be terrified. But when I saw today beginning to end and tonight getting nearer and nearer, I could feel my fingertips getting cold.
You might say goodbye to Dan.
No, I don't want to see him.
Well, who just ran out the door?
My niece. Down for the night, if you please.
For the night?
Yes. And Mr. Lorry gone, and Dora, and Mrs. Tebbins going home. It'll be just you and me.
Let me put your shawl about you. There. How's that?
Ah, fine. You're a great comfort to me, Danny, a great comfort.
Would you like a nice hot cup of tea now to take the chill off?
Yes.
I'll go out in the kitchen and fix you some. You just close your eyes and don't worry about a thing.
Dora, you ready?
It's me, Dan.
Oh, you've got your coat.
Yes, I'm going over Paley Hillway.
And leaving her here alone?
She'll be all right. I have to see the doctor. I'm still feeling kind of queasy.
I'm ready. Well, is his lordship going with us?
Just to the gate. Then I go the other way.
Even the owl woman?
Oh, she'll scream the place down.
I asked her this minute, and she don't seem to mind. Said she wouldn't hear of my staying. It's not good to argue with her.
That we know it.
You wait on her too much anyway. Well, come along. Oh, it's blown up a bit.
I'm glad to be going with you, Mrs. Tennant. I couldn't walk a step in those woods alone.
Have you got the flashlight?
Right here.
Oh, it's black as pitch in them woods. I'd be frightened to be by myself, I can tell you. Oh, it's a pity you're not coming our way, Dan.
I turn off here. See you in the morning. Toodaloo. Night, Dora. Maybe we can step out one night this week, eh?
If you ask nice, like. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I wish people wouldn't just walk out of the house and leave me high and dry. Where are my chocolates now? Oh, there. That Dora's been at them again.
What's that?
Daddy! Daddy! An owl. Oh, Lord. Oh, what is that boy doing in the kitchen? I've got the chickens. Daddy! Good Lord, has he gone and left me too? Oh, Lord, help a poor woman. They've left me. I'm going to be murdered! Daddy! Daddy! Where are you? What's that? Someone's out there. Someone! Oh, Lord, help me, help me. Forgive me, my trespasses. Oh! 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 Damn me. Daddy!
There, that's all. There now.
Thank God. Oh, thank God you didn't leave.
top of this. Do you good.
I thought...
I am sorry. I am, really. You see, Dora and Mrs. Terence wanted me to see them along the path, past the rubbish pit where they found...
I was all alone. Just an old woman calling for help and no answer.
Poor old mum.
You're the only one that really understands me, Daddy. I don't have to tell you about my husband. How unkind and ungodly he was. I wouldn't have minded so much him being ungodly. But he was unkind.
Drink some more.
Oh, bless you, Danny.
Now, what would you like? Shall I read you to sleep?
Hush.
What is it?
A soft, thumping noise. Why, Danny, it's your heart beating. Are you all right?
Fine. I've been running along the path, you see. In the dark.
Yes. Yes, it is dark.
Yes. It's night now.
Well, it's been a long day, and I'm stiff in the neck from the draft. I think I'll go to bed.
Let me rub your neck a bit. There. Shut your eyes.
Oh, Danny. You're the only one.
There.
What strong hands they are. You're a pet, my little chubby feet. My baby face, my Danny.
Everybody knows.
The hands, they're too tight.
Don't know what to call him. But he's mighty. Like a rose. That's done it. A few gallons of kerosene sprinkled about. And in a minute, it'll all be up in smoke. Just... strike a match? What's that? You.
I decided to come back. Life is so ordinary, isn't it? Even Mrs. Bramson, dead in her chair, is ordinary.
What did you come back for?
To find you out.
Now you know. She didn't keep any money anywhere else, did she?
I've read so much about Eve.
Did she?
I never expected to come across it in real life.
You like it, though, don't you?
He hates you.
No. You feel light as air, same as me.
Why?
This is my big chance. Money I'm going to have now. And me telling other people what to do. The world's going to hear from me. You wait. Oh, but then, you can't wait.
What do you mean?
When I say I'll never be found out, I mean that no living soul will be able to tell another living soul about me.
You won't?
Oh, yes. That's what I am, see? I make up my mind and do it.
Don't. Stay away from me.
What's that?
What?
That light? Out the window?
I don't see.
It's there. They're watching me. Somebody's watching me. Somebody is watching. I'm the one that watches. What's that? A sound like a big wall falling over into the sea.
You stopped acting at last. You're real. You're frightened.
But everything is slipping away. From underneath our feet, can't you feel it? Starting slow and then hundreds of miles an hour. I'm going backwards. Back to the day I was born. I can see it coming. The day I was born. I'm going to die.
No use to run. What are you doing in this, Miss Graham?
I belong here, and...
She did nothing. I'm the fella, see? Anything I run all by myself.
I don't believe you. Let me see your hands, old boy.
Why, sure. Take off these handcuffs. Take them off!
Now, come along. Come along quietly. I have a couple of men outside, Miss Crane. I'll send them in. Come along.
Inspector. 1 minute, please.
Well...
would you mind straightening my tie, Miss Olivia.
All right.
This is the real thing, you know. Acting. That's what you said. Isn't it? You was right. But now, this is the real thing. Got a cigarette?
Oh. Here you are.
You aren't going to believe what she said about helping me.
No. Plenty of women get a bit hysterical about a lad in your position. You'll find them queuing up all right when the time comes. Proposals of marriage by the score.
Oh, they will?
Come along, Dan.
Dan? Oh, yes. I forgot about him. Poor little chap. You know, I'd like something now I never wanted before. A long walk. All by myself. And just when I can't have it. That's contrary, isn't it?
Coming.
Righto. Bye, girl.
Bye, Dan.
Well, I'm going to be hanged. But they'll get their money's worth at the trial. You wait.
You have just heard the Best Plays production of Night Must Fall by Emlyn Williams, starring Alfred Drake and Mary Boland, with Carmen Matthews. And here again is your host, drama critic John Chapman.
Would you like to join me in congratulating Mr. Drake, Miss Boland, Miss Matthews, and company for giving us such a pleasantly horrifying hour? I hope you'll join us next week when we'll have a fine comedy drama, A Bell for Adonno. This is Paul Osborne's Best Plays adaptation of John Hersey's novel, and our leading roles will be played by Arthur Kennedy and Myron McCormick. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next week.
Night Must Fall was transcribed and adapted for radio by George Leppard. Heard in the cast were Richard Newton as Hubert, Mary Michael as Mrs. Terrence, Horace Braham as Inspector Belsize, and Kathleen Cordell as Dora. Best Plays is an NBC production, supervised by William Welch and directed by Fred Wade. Your announcer is Robert Dent. Tonight, hear another Radio City Previews on NBC.